All right, well, we are continuing on a three-part series that I started Monday night, and we're looking at being spiritual life coach. I am going to be your spiritual life coach, and so what we did, we started last Monday. And I introduced the subject to you, and I shared about people are familiar with life coaches, right? Mm-hmm. And we've got life coaches in many fields, from business. I told you about my son Tim has a business coach, and then Tristan, his wife, has an exercise coach. She does the Ironman events. And there's all kinds of coaches out there for marriage, all kinds of stuff. But I want to be your spiritual life coach. You know, our spiritual life certainly is more important than our physical life. And a life coach, if you remember, helps people identify their weaknesses and their strengths, helping them to achieve goals. Helping them realize what their abilities are, what resources they may have, and to make positive changes in their lives. Life coaches are masters of habit change, getting people to change bad habits to good habits. And also, a good life coach is going to be passionate and about inspiring others, pushing others to their fullest potential, and help them create success in their life. But as I told you earlier, we're going to deal with the spiritual part of life, okay? So I'm going to be your spiritual life coach, and tomorrow we'll finish our series. And as I shared earlier last Monday, that we're only going to scratch the surface on some of these things. Usually a life coach is going to spend more time with you on a consistent basis. But I trust what I share with you, and I encourage you to take notes. I've got some paper here for you folks that are here. To take some notes and work this so that you can be your best for God. I can only impart information and encourage you to be your godly best. But it's up to you to recognize your potential and renew your mind so you can manifest the greatness of who you are in Christ. So what a privilege we all have to have incorruptible seed and be filled with the fullness of the gift of the Holy Spirit with all nine manifestations, huh?
Amen.
Yeah. So, before we move to part two, let's do a quick review on part one. And as I mentioned before, you move forward in any endeavor, you must know who you are and what resources you have to work with. And we looked at some wonderful realities of who we are in Christ last Monday, and we found out that from the Word of God that you're a son of God, you're an heir of God, you're a joint heir with Christ, you're born of incorruptible seed, you're filled with the gift of Holy Spirit, you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a person who has been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, and you are God's masterpiece, just to name a few, okay? So we've got such great resources, great potential ability to be our best for our Heavenly Father. Let's go to 2 Peter, and I'm going to share one more verse reference with you, and with this verse, just a second. Okay, good. I had to do a little thing here. Thank you. Uh-oh. Hang on, folks. Somehow I lost. Here we go. We're back. Very good. Okay, I thought I lost you all. So, appreciate you all just staying muted here as we do this. If you come off of mute, then we're going to have some background noise. All right. So, we're going to go to 2 Peter chapter 1. And so, one more verse scripture here to see what we have. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. So again, here's another verse, scripture reference, that God has given us all things that pertain unto God, life and godliness. Verse 4 says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Now, they must be pretty special promises if they're exceeding great and precious, huh? Mm-hmm. But that's what God says, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So, as we can see, our Heavenly Father wants the best for us. He's provided us. He's given us His love, His righteousness, all these great resources whereby we can be successful in our spiritual walk. So, the next step is, how can we energize this awesome power of God in us? Okay? We got it. So how do we energize it? How do we turn it on? How do we get it going? Okay? Your phone's on, I think, or something. I hear a voice background.
I think it might be here.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
What are you saying?
We're hearing a background on the
feedback
phone, but I don't.
Do you think it's this?
I was looking at different phones.
See if somebody's off mute again.
Yeah, just a second. I think we're okay. Okay, we're moving on. Nothing's going to stop us, all right? So, very good. Well, 1 Peter 1:13 says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. So we're going to gird up the loins of our mind and learn some skills to incorporate these awesome realities that we have as sons of God. And tonight I want to share with you 5 skill sets to help you manifest the abilities God has given you to use as you function in the body of Christ. Really, each one of these could be a teaching in itself, but I'm just going to throw them out at you. That's why, if you could take some notes here and make note of it and then work on this on your own, that would be tremendous. But these are 5 skill sets that can help you realize your wonderful abilities that God has given you to use to walk by the Spirit. And number one is, humble yourself. Be meek. Be meek and humble yourself. This is how you're going to receive from God, continuing to hear from Him, if you are meek or humble. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, it says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto an elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. Be clothed with humility. That's when, as we grow and learn, we've got to be meek. We've got to be humble. And the verse goes on to say, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. So we want to be in God's grace. And it's by grace we're saved. It's by grace we have all these wonderful realities in our lives. So we want to keep that mindset, that meek humbleness, so that we can continue to receive from our Heavenly Father. And let's read the next two verses. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. There it is again. And then verse 7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. We get things that hit us, that bother us, that try to thwart our walk with God. What do we do with it? We don't struggle with it. We don't fight with it. We give it to God. We just give it to God, and we meekly receive from him. So, you know, our natural man wants all the credit and to do all the work. That's our natural man. But first, we need to be meek. We need to be spiritual men and women. And spiritual men and women are meek to listen to the Heavenly Father. So that's number one. Number two, do not live in the past. Do not live in the past. Schedule your future, be it for a day, for a week, for a year. So in other words, we don't want to live by what has happened in the past, but we want to live for the future, for the day ahead. And I say schedule your future. What I mean there is you schedule your day. You talk with the Father, and you schedule your day. Now some folks, they go day to day, scheduling, talking with God. Okay, this is in the morning. This is what we're going to do today. Or maybe they set up a calendar where they go for a week. I know I've got a monthly calendar that I work with as far as knowing what fellowships are coming up, who's teaching, things like that. So if you're not scheduling your life to do the things of God, who else is going to schedule it for you? The adversary, our enemy. He's going to make sure you are busy with his stuff. So if we're not conscientiously planning our time, and of course, to do this, we need to be humble, receive from God what we should be doing. It works together, okay? 1 Peter 4:1, I'm saving you a lot of turning of the Bible here, huh? We're in 1 Peter quite a bit. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. You know, we don't want to live by man's dictation, how man wants us to live. We want to live by the will of God. And then there's that wonderful verse in Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Okay, so, boy, in God's word, we forget those things that are behind. We don't bring them up. The devil always wants to remind us of the junk and the hurt and the drama that we've had in the past. And no, forgetting those things. Why? Why can't we forgive them? No matter what has happened, God's forgiveness takes care of it. Are we just done with it and it's over and we move on, right? Mm-hmm. So we don't allow the past to dictate our life. So forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before. Verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. See, this is what we're doing. We're living our life pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. So, you and Father, schedule your day, your week, your year. however it works for you. If you don't, the devil will certainly keep you busy with his programs and schedule. Now, number three is really very important here. And it's simply believe who you are. Believe who you are. I tell you, believing God's word is a great skill. And it's one we want to work on. And a great way to do that is to put as much of the Bible in your head, because it's God's word there. And the more you have in there, the more it'll come to mind, and you can walk out on it. You can believe it. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith or believing, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." You know, God wants to bless us. He wants us. He's given us so much. You know, God is perfect, right? And he has made us perfect. We were in our Wednesday fellowship, the Garage Fellowship. I've shared this with you. And we're working a book titled The Perfect You. And the author, the coordinator of the fellowship, had the author do a teaching for us, 30-minute teaching. And it was all about recognizing that there's only one you. There's not two of you. There's one you. And God has made you perfect in Christ. And that's it. That's who you are. Don't try to be somebody else. You are perfect in Christ because you have his righteousness, God's righteousness. So, but believe. We need just to simply believe the word of God, don't we? Yeah. Let me share a couple other verses here. 2 Timothy 1:12-13, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." Wow. So we hold on to the words of God. And we believe them in faith and in love. Well, number four, the fourth skill set, is to step out, do the word, walk by the Spirit. Step out on the word, do the word, walk by the Spirit. In other words, we've heard the word, we've thought about it, now let's step out on it. Shanti talks about putting on the armor of God. She thinks about that first thing in the morning. Well, now, is she just going to stay in bed all night or all day with the armor on? No, she's going out to do her job or whatever with the armor on. And that's what we need to do. We need to step out on the word and do the word. And a great part for us to do the word is to walk by the Spirit. Galatians 5:13. "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." You know, we have the privilege of serving one another. This is part of our calling that we'll talk about Thursday, tomorrow night. But this is what we do, is to love one another. All right? Galatians 5:16-17, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Boy, that nails it, doesn't it? Galatians 5:16, "We walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh, verse 17, lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, And these are contrary to the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Yeah, there's a conflict between the flesh and the spirit. Mm-hmm. So which one do we want to walk on? The spirit. Yeah, we want to walk by the spirit. Amen. Amen. Well, the final point here, and there's a lot of things I could be sharing with you, but these five, I think, are just wonderful things to work with to help you be your best for God. And the fifth one is live, love, and give. Live, love, and give. And really, if you're living love, what are you going to be doing?
Giving.
Giving. Yes. And above all these things, this is 1 Peter 4:8. And above all these things, all things have fervent charity. And the word charity is that King James, the Greek word is agape, the love of God. Above all things have fervent love of God among yourselves. For the love of God shall cover the multitude of sins. And then in 1 Peter 4:10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. And if any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You know, we want to minister. We want to serve. We want to speak the word. God's given us that ability to do that. It says in 2 Corinthians 9:7, God loveth a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. And then in Luke 6:38, it says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet or give out withal, it shall be measured to you again. So we want to live the love of God. We want to minister. We have received the gift of Holy Spirit, so we want to serve as good stewards and live the love of God. And you just can't miss it if you're living the love of God. And if you're living the love of God, you're giving, you're serving, you're out there helping other people. So, you know, we are so blessed and excited to have all this wonderful power and authority that we have in Christ. Pretty neat, huh? So we want to gird up the loins of our mind and put into action what our Heavenly Father has given us. And we are loaded with all kinds of God's wonderful resources. So let's use them, okay? So, quick review. We humble ourselves, right? First and foremost, casting all our care. Number two, we stop living in the past and schedule our life in the now. Number three, we believe exactly who we are. Number four, we step out and walk by the Spirit and do the work. And finally, number five, live love, live to give. Okay? So I trust these skill sets will help you be your best for the Heavenly Father. And tomorrow night, we'll finish the series and look at how you can fulfill your calling before God, okay? So I'm going to stop the recording.